then the silver cords will break, and I will more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I will wake within the palace of the king, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamps all trimmed and burning bright. Then when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him shall take its flight. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now I see, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Thank you, Steve. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16 as we look at the manna from heaven this evening, going through the book of Exodus on Sunday evenings, and we come to the part where God provides the manna. And as we look at this passage of Scripture this evening, I want to share with you 9 comparisons of manna in the wilderness to the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace of God, how marvelous it is, and your grace to the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness, your grace to us for salvation, and your grace for us every day that sustains us. Father, we pray that you would help us as we feed on the manna of your word tonight, that our souls would be stirred and our spirit will be fed from your living word. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and we, first of all, I want you to look at John chapter 6, and I have it on the screen, if you can see it there. Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he." Notice the personal pronoun. "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And so Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. But in the Old Testament, we look at the manna, And then we see that the Word of God is life as well, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. So when we look at the Word of God, we're looking at Jesus Christ himself. And so as we look at these comparisons, beginning at chapter 16, verse 1, the first three verses, it says, they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What a complaining spirit. Does anyone enjoy listening to people complain and murmur? It's not very fun, is it? It doesn't build us up. And here they are just murmuring and complaining. And whenever we are feeling that way, how do we overcome it? Well, the best way is to feed on the Word of God. And so God provides them manna, not so much because they were murmuring, because they haven't had anything to eat, but I think it's going to take care of the murmuring as well. And so the first thing that we see about this manna and the Word of God, verse 4 says, then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the manna was supernatural. It was not anything that they planted. There it was not any wild food that they just happened to come across. It was supernaturally provided by God. And so is the Word of God. God's Word is supernatural. Someone has said God's book is not a book that man would have written if he could, nor could he write if he would, because it's a supernatural book. And God's Word is more than just information for us. God's Word gives life. Even as the manna provided life for them in the wilderness so that they wouldn't die physically, and no other book can give life. Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So look at 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians, it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And we understand at Sumter Bible Church that God's Word is a supernatural book. And when we look into God's Word, we're not looking into just any other book. This is a book that is given from heaven miraculously, even as the manna was given. But also notice in verse 4, it says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And God's word is intended for us to be taken in every day, a certain rate. Your rate may be different than my rate and from someone else's rate. Somebody may be reading about three chapters a day, or so that they can read the Bible in a year's time. Other people may read just five or six verses. And the amount of it is not so important as the fact that we take it in every day, because God's manna from heaven was given for them every day. Have you ever fasted for a day or two or three? I could start going longer, but I don't know too many people who fasted longer than that. And if they had, it's probably not good that they go advertising it anyway there. But after you fast for a day or two, you start getting weak, don't you? And you start to feel it. And for a believer, that should be true from the Word of God. If we get away from our daily partaking of the Word of God, we should start to feel that as well. God's Word is not just food for us. In Psalm 119, 105, you see there it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet, it's a light to our path there. And God's word lights the way. It guides us. And even as they were wandering in the wilderness, God was providing a way for them. He was providing strength for them. So look now, if you will, down to verse 5. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, when you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And so here they are murmuring, and God hears their murmurings. And God says that the murmuring, it wasn't against Moses. Well, they thought it was. But Moses wasn't the one that was providing for them. Moses was just doing what God had told him to do. And God was the one that was providing through Moses. And so whenever we complain, we are really complaining against God, aren't we? When we're murmuring, because every good gift comes from God. And even the things that we don't like, all things work together for good to those who love God. And whenever we're murmuring, it's usually because we're not partaking of the manna like we should. So we go to God's word, and it helps with the murmuring as well. So verse 8, Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake to Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord. Isn't that a cure for murmuring? Come near before the Lord. How do we get near the Lord? We get near the Lord through the scriptures, because Jesus is the bread of life. He is the word of God. We get near to him, and he hears our murmurings. In verse 10, it shall come to pass, as Aaron spake to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. And what did they see? Verse 10. Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Where was the glory of the Lord? It was in the wilderness there. And so here's the glory of God, and God wants them to see him in all of his glory. And he has the pillar of fire and the cloud that's going to guide them. And there is God. And God knows them. And God wants them to know him better. And as they trust him, he's telling them to go out. In 6 days, you're gonna get the food for each day. And then you're going to gather enough for 2 days. And do it the way God said to do it. Now come down to verse 11. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. That's what God wanted. God wanted them to know him personally. He wanted them to know that he was going to provide for them. He was going to take care of them through the wilderness times. He was going to take care of them even whenever they were murmuring there, that he's their God. And he wants them to know him. And God wants us to know him. And we get to know him through the word. And when we're going through the wilderness, when we're going through times that we want to murmur and complain, let's go to God's word and see what he has for us. Verse 13, and it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And here now God is providing quail. Quail were native to this particular area. There, I don't know if any of you know anything about quail. Maybe you've eaten quail. I learned a little bit about quail from my grandfather on my mother's side. We called him Papa. He raised bird dogs. And every Thanksgiving morning, at daylight, we were at Papa's house, and we were all going out quail hunting. From the time I was 12, I got my first shotgun, and we'd go out and hunt quail. And I used to watch my grandfather trained the quail dogs, and he would have birds and different things with scents, and he would train those dogs, and they would go into the woods, and they would point, raise the leg, and the tail would be straight out. Just a pretty sight to watch them pointing the quail, and then you would walk up and you would flush them up, and quail make a pretty loud sound when they get up, and they might be in a covey of 8 or 10 or 12, but then after they scatter, whatever ones you don't shoot, and there are usually some that get away because they're pretty fast, they leave the ground at about 60 miles per hour, but they don't fly far. And so then the dogs go and they search out for the singles, and they point them. And so then my grandfather had some quail that were trained, and it was just amazing to me. He had them in a cage, and he used them to train his dogs. And so he would take the cages out to the woods and let the quail go and train the dogs, and the quail would come back into the cage. I never did figure out how they did that. And I said, well, so if they can do it, my grandfather can do it, God can bring the quail, plenty of them, to the people, and they don't have to have, the shotguns to get them there. And quail is all white meat. Even the drumsticks, are white meat. It's really good, especially fried there. And so God is providing this wonderful quail for them in the wilderness. So let's see the third comparison. In verse 14, it says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, small as a hoarfrost on the ground." And so when we look at the Word of God, it's small. We can hold it in our hand. But that little small piece of manna that they had was sufficient for all of their needs. I don't know what nutrition was in that. I don't know if it tasted the same every day. It might have tasted like fish one day, and might have tasted like steak the next day, and crab legs the next day. I don't know what it tasted like there. But God provided everything that they needed. And when we look at the Word of God, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Just as that little small piece of manna was profitable for them, God's Word, though it's small, here it says it's profitable for four things, and you've seen other preachers share this, I'm sure. The Scripture is sufficient to tell us what's right. That is, it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable to tell us what's not right, for reproof. It's also profitable for correction, to tell us how to get right. And then it tells us how to stay right, for instruction in righteousness. And so it may be small, but God's Word has everything that we need. Now, sometimes we might wish God would be a little bit more specific and say, this is the job I want you to take, or this is the house I want you to buy. And it's usually not that specific, is it? But God guides us through His Word. Whenever we need answers, we go to the Word of God. And God will use a certain portion of Scripture to give us the answer for which we're searching. If we get into the Word, it may be small, but it will take care of all of that. Whenever we have foods today, we have additives and preservatives, all of those things. But this manna, it didn't have any additives. And for the Word of God, we don't need to add anything to it. People try to add emotional experiences and all kinds of things. And we take vitamins to kind of supplement our food, these power-packed vitamins. All of that's in God's Word. It is a power-packed spiritual vitamin that we take. It is small, but it is certainly sufficient to take care of all of our needs. If only we would take of it a certain rate every day without skipping. Well, let's go on to the next thing, also in verse 14. It tells us it was not only small, but it was round. That is, it was complete. Many times at weddings, pastors will use a ring, which is round, to show the eternal aspect of love, that it has no beginning and it has no end. And we look at this round manna and we look at the Word of God, which is also eternal. Psalm 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean," and that's referring to the Word of God, "enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And God's Word is eternal. We don't need to add experiences to God's Word. There are no other visions. There are no other prophecies. God's Word, as we have the 66 books, God's Word is complete. We don't need the Book of Mormon. We don't need anything else. God's Word is eternal. Verse 15, they look at this manna, and the children of Israel, they saw it, and they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist or knew not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And the word manna, the Hebrew word, means what is it? And so that's why we call it manna. They looked at it like maybe you've done as an adult or as a child when something was placed before you, or if you went to a Chinese restaurant and you looked and said, "What is that?" You know, well, that's what they were doing. They said, "What is that?" You know, and it's manna. It's food that God has given from heaven there. And so it's not fully understood there. And we don't fully understand God's Word. Now, we know more and more of it as we come to read God's Word, but notice what 1 Corinthians 13 says. "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." And so we come to learn God's Word. As we obey God's Word, God begins to give us more of His Word. Like the headlights of a car, we don't see but so far. But as we progress forward, we begin to see farther down the road. And so here, it's obedience is the key. Here's an example from the miracle that Jesus performed in John chapter 2. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them. And notice I underlined that. The next verse, he said to them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bear it. And then after that, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, notice the parenthetical expression there, "But the servants which drew the water, they knew where it came from." When did they know? If you notice the steps in these verses, it says, first of all, they filled them. They obeyed. And secondly, they served. They bear it. And then they knew. But so often, we don't want to do it that way. We want to know. And if we like what we know, then we'll obey and serve. But God says, if we want to know more of God's Word, if we want to have a greater understanding of God's Word, it comes with obedience and service. And the more we obey, and the more we serve, the more understanding of God's Word we get. In Psalm 119, I don't have this one on the screen there, verse 99 says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." In other words, more can be gleaned from God's Word than all the human teachers that we've ever had or we ever will have. There's more to gain from God's Word than all the commentaries in the world about God's Word. And I'm not opposed to commentaries and learning from other people, but God's Word has the answer. And in that same Psalm 119, verse 130, says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple." And the Word of God is simple enough that even the densest heart can understand. But God's Word is so powerful and profound that it will challenge even the most intelligent person. God's Word is an amazing book, the manna from heaven that He has given to us. Well, look at verse 15 again. And we see another comparison, the purpose for the manna. It says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it's manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to discuss and debate. No, that's not why he gave it to them. But you know, a lot of times that's what we want to do with God's word, isn't it? We want to discuss it and debate it and not take it in. God wants us to read his word. God wants us to meditate on his word. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Here's the word of God, and it was there, but it didn't profit them. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith when they heard it. And here's all the manna on the ground, and it's there. But if they don't pick it up and partake of it, it's not going to profit them. And so it is with God's word. He's given it to us, and he wants us to partake of it. And he even wants us to do like we do with other food, with real food. Most of us, I guess, I'll speak for myself, like snacks in between our meals, you know. Or sometimes we just have one continuous meal all day long, you know. Well, what if we did that with God's word? Instead of saying, I read the Bible in the morning, or I do my devotions in the evening, what if we took little snacks during the day and took time to read a little bit of God's word several times a day? How much more would we get to know the God who has given us this supernatural book? Well, verse 16, moving along, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And so they didn't obey. They hearkened not, and then what happened? Things started to stink. Whenever we don't obey God's word, that's what happens in our own lives. Things don't go well. God wants us to learn to trust him, to take a portion when we're supposed to take one portion, to take a double portion when we're to take a double portion. He wants us to walk in the light as he guides us through the time of the wilderness and see his glory and obey him. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that you will seed, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Isn't that a miraculous thing? That on the other days, if they kept it till the morning, it had worms and it did stink. But on the seventh day, when they kept it overnight, it was good. Why is that? Well, that's what God said would happen. God is always true to his word. If we will read God's word and take of the daily rate and obey God's word and take it exactly like he says it, we will find that God's way always works. And we don't try to outthink God. That never works. Go down to verse 24. We still have three more comparisons to make as we get to the end of it. Verse 24, they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And that must have been encouraging, you know. Probably not too good with worms there. You don't need that protein in the wilderness, do you? Verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, For today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass, verse 27, that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And they should have known that. That's what God said. It's not going to be any there on the seventh day. Verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye, every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Whenever we obey God's word and we do it the way God tells us to do, we get the nourishment we want, we don't get the worms, we don't get the stink, and we get the rest. And God wants for us to have a rest. And in Hebrews, when he's talking about the rest there is for a people, he's relating that back to the Israelites, and God has a rest for us. And the inward rest that we get comes when we obey God's word, when we take it in and get our daily rate and let God's word nourish and strengthen us. Now let's go to verse 31. We see the seventh similarity to the word of God. Verse 31 says, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white. It was white. And what does white typify in the scripture? Purity, doesn't it? When we think about robes of white that the Lord has for us, the Bible says that whenever we're washed of our sins, we're as white as snow. The purity that's there. And God's word is pure. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. God's word is infallible. There is not an error in the word of God. We can fully depend on God's word. We can depend on it for salvation, on how to get to heaven. We can depend on it on how we should train up our children. We can depend on it for education, for science, for history, for anything on which the Bible speaks. It's always going to be accurate. On how this earth began, God spoke, and there it was. God's word is pure. Well, we see also in verse 31 something else about God's word and the manna. It was sweet. It says the taste of it was like wafers made with honey, the sweetness. So in this wafer, as I said, it may have been steak, it may have been shrimp, it may have been, you know, chocolate cake. You know, it was sweet too. It was everything that they wanted. It was their full course meal. It was even their dessert. Think about the word of God, Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When we're looking for answers and we go to God's word and we read God's word and we say, oh, that's what I was looking for. That is so sweet there. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. A lot of times Christians are not experiencing the joy and rejoicing that God wants us to have because they're not taking their certain rate every day. You know, they might want to have a buffet once a week on Sunday and get it to last all week long. That's not the way God intended for us to partake of his word. It is a daily partaking of his word that gives us the daily sustenance spiritually that we need. Now we come to verse 32, to the end of the chapter. And we see our ninth comparison of manna to the word of God. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept." Notice that phrase. You'll see it three times from here to the end of the chapter. "To be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna till they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Three times it says that the manna was to be kept. In other words, it is preserved. God's word is preserved. God has miraculously taken the scriptures as he's given it from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and God has preserved his word. And we have the word of God today that somehow God has preserved. Not necessarily a particular translation. Other countries don't read English, and they have others, and we won't get into the debate of that, the version issue there. But God has preserved his word, hasn't he? And God's word is dependable. And through all the ages, though man has tried to destroy it, they can't, because it's a supernatural book. It's a book that has come from heaven, even as the manna did. And Mark 13, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." God has preserved his word. He's preserved it for us to partake of it, to be nourished and strengthened, and to know God more, even as he wanted the Israelites. Just about five verses of application, and I'll be finished. Let's look at some of the things that the Bible says about the word of God. And there are many more than these five that I'll share with you. 1 Timothy 4:13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." God wants us to pay attention to the reading of God's word. We need to have a certain rate every day that we partake of God's word. And that's my challenge to you if you're not doing that. 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." God wants us to profit spiritually, and we can't do that if we don't let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, as Colossians says. Then in 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them." We don't want to forget God's word. We want to be reminded daily to take our certain rate and keep going, even if others don't continue in them. I want to be faithful. I want to continue in God's word, even if nobody else does. I want to study God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has given it to us, and we look into it, we study it, we meditate on it, we obey it. As we obey and serve, then we know more. But God's word is not intended for us just to have knowledge so that we can be smarter about the Bible than anyone else. God has given us this to obey him, to honor him, and to know him more. And the last verse that we'll see is 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. "But continue thou in the things which you've learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." It is a pure word of God, isn't it? It's eternal. "They're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." God had given to the Israelites the manna. And though every day it looked the same, it gave them everything they needed. And we can open up God's word, and our Bible may look the same, but God has in this little white round thing, as it was, God has an eternal word for us if we will only partake of it and digest it and know it and rightly divide it. And then he will show himself mighty and strong on our behalf, even as he led the Israelites. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is eternal. We know that Satan hates the word of God. People have tried to revise it and change it in so many ways, but we thank you that it has stood the test of time because it is true. It is eternal. It is supernatural. It is life-giving. It is nourishment and strength for us. So help us in times of murmuring and not understanding, in times of weakness, to find the strength that we need in the Word of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.